My friend Ben Jerome pinged me and said, hey, dude, get on this Clubhouse thing and check it out. It's great. It's amazing. It's really led to a lot of good connections. So I decided, hop on here and on the spot, on demand, record a podcast that same day and get it produced immediately and have it up and running within 48 hours on Spotify, on Apple, on Google to share with your friends and family. So that's what this is all about. You are the star. Welcome to the Mika Altidore Show, starring Mika Altidore. I'm Phil Brothers, and I'll be the host, but today, Mika, you are the star.
Hello, Phil. Thank you for having me on your podcast. I'm excited to be here.
I'm super glad that you agreed to do this, and tell the listeners how we know each other and how this this whole journey of our friendship / recording has happened.
Sure, through Clubhouse.
Amazing
app. So yeah, we were connected through Clubhouse and through our mutual friend, Julie Logan, also co-host. We co-host a podcast, The Obsessed Podcast. Are those your dogs, Phil?
They are, and they really want to be on this podcast, so we're just going to let them be.
Okay, I'm down with that. I'm down.
And
so yeah.
So pets, not your thing at this time in life, eh?
I want one, yeah. And I'm like, it could happen tomorrow, it could happen next month, it could happen in 6 months. I have no idea, but definitely want a pet. Just right now, just I don't know. I feel like my time is a little busy, and I don't know where to fit a pet in at the moment, but. Yeah. We'll work it out. I'll figure something out.
If time was not a consideration and you could be like, dude, I would love to have this animal in my house, what would be the top one or two or three ideas you
have? Dogs.
Okay.
It would be either a Yorkie. Uh-huh. It would just be some small dog. It would be a small dog.
Okay.
Most likely a Yorkie or I don't know what other breeds, but something that could fit in my bag.
I was going to ask
grocery
that.
Grocery shopping.
I was going to ask
because
that.
Yeah, right. That's an essential. Mm-hmm. That's an essential for me right now.
Bring your buddy grocery shopping. You can pet him or her, feed him or her treats, and it just be a blast, right?
Yes, 100%. So, but yeah.
So now that I think about it, though, maybe you could have like a mascot at the vegan bakery and just be like, hey, this is the Yorkie. And then people are like, oh my gosh, have you seen that bakery that has the Yorkie? We're going there.
That's smart. Where would I put him? Well, like where?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, where would he be placed?
That is a good
question. Where no one's going to run off with him.
Well, we definitely don't want him. So we'd have to chip him and also maybe put a sign at the front being like, don't even think about taking my Yorkie. He's my mascot. You will be tracked down.
You will be tracked down. We'll track him and then we'll find you.
Yes, precisely. Please don't take the Yorkie. You're vegans. We all get along and we're happy.
There we go. That works for me. So
yes, ma'am. So, all right. Tell us more about the vegan bakery. How did this come about? What's your process? What's your thought in all that?
Well, you asked a very interesting question, and it's the bakery. Our vegan bakery started from like my illness. You know, I had tumors, and I learned that eating dairy and eating eggs and eating meat were contributing to the growth. So I immediately cut that out. And the funny story is I remember I said, okay, let me have my last burger at Wendy's before I could go completely vegan.
Wendy's was the last hurrah.
It was the last hurrah, and the burger was cold. Ooh. It wasn't great. I'm like, man, good thing I'm going vegan. So I went vegan and my symptoms reduced like dramatically. So the pain went down, the growth went down. So those were big blessings. And where I live, there's no vegan bakery at all. And so not even just a bakery, but even a vegan restaurant, a eatery, a cafe, nada, nothing, zilch. No. So, you know, my partner Victor and I had an idea like, why don't we open a bakery And we have no baking experience. You know, I'm a celebrity jewelry designer. You know, he owned a produce stand and just dealt with produce and fruits and vegetables. So we're like, you know what? Let's just dive in and go from there. That was 4 years ago. And here we are now. We're top three vegan bakeries, top three bakery in Polk County, which is where we live.
Okay.
And ranked top three best vegan donuts in the United States.
Woo!
Yes, featured in major publications like Veg News, which is an international publication, Veg World Magazine, another international publication, Jane Unchained, where they have almost 900,000 followers on Facebook. And we just did a live last week. Actually, last week we did a live recipe with them. So 4 years in, and you would think that we've been baking for 30, 40 years.
You guys are veterans.
We've got the burn marks to prove, the oven marks to prove.
Uh-oh. That's just part of the gig, I guess, right?
Yes, I don't mind.
Well, that's awesome. So the way that you're describing that, you talked about being busy for, you know, an animal. That obviously takes up the bulk of your time, but you still got other projects going on. What else you got cracking in the fire?
Yes. Well, we mentioned Julie Loken. She's one of my co-hosts along with Tia Morrell. So those are my two co-hosts with the Obsessed podcast. And we're having a blast with the podcast. So it's a personal development podcast. So we talk about just strategies, anything related to personal development, how anyone can have just a better life, for lack of a better word. And just, we talk about being resilient. We talk about how to make an impact. We talk about how to create new habits, how to deal with certain different things in relationships, or how to deal when you're in a funk. So the podcast is amazing. We've had so many great experts. We've got Dr. Laura Bergman, who has a show on Oprah's network. So she was one of our guests, and Michael Lozier, who is a law of attraction expert, and he had
important.
A radio show. Yeah, it's cool. So we've got, like, I could go on, but I'll stop there. We also had, speaking of being vegan, we had Lauren Toyota, who is one of the top, I would say, in my opinion, one of the top five vegan food experts on YouTube that you can find, and also blog related with a blog.
So when you say that name, then the vegans are like, "Ooh, that's our girl."
Right? That's okay. Our girl.
Gotcha.
And so I love her. And also just so many, I mean, just incredible. The list goes, Ketya, she has over 9.9 million followers on TikTok. She's also vegan. She was on our show, and that was a great episode. So definitely, I encourage your listeners to check out the Obsessed podcast. And those interviews are like fire. It's not even work for me. It's like fun.
Fire,
like being with you right now.
Fire interviews. Right now, we are having a jam out session. And you mentioned we met on Clubhouse, and your goal that you were talking about was connecting with people. And then you were saying kind things about me. If you want to repeat those, I'm not going to stop you if you want.
Okay. Phil is kind. Phil is nice. Phil is intelligent. How much am I getting paid to say all these great things
about
you?
We'll work that out. We'll work that out. There's probably kind of, yeah.
Phil, but honestly, no, Phil's awesome. We connected through Clubhouse, and I thought he was funny. I thought he was just witty and cool and down to earth. So, that was my first impression of Phil. So, on Clubhouse, so if you are listening to this, definitely follow Phil on Clubhouse and check into every room that he's in, because he is, I'm telling you, he's got some amazing ideas. He told me a few of them. So And here I am.
Here you are. And so the podcast is the most fun that I've had out of the clubhouse experience because we can engage one-on-one. Sometimes it's hard to get lost in a big group. And then sometimes there's the clubhouse drama that you were telling me about. And I would like to hear a specific story if you have one that stands out because I'm about that drama life sometimes.
Okay. So, all right. So I've been on Clubhouse for a few months and, so I was telling Phil that I was telling you earlier that I've witnessed a few clubhouse like fights, and they're very like just interesting because you're like, what? Like, am I really witnessing?
People are doing this in public.
This fight.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where's my popcorn? Where's my bonbon? Where? Like, come on! Like, this is amazing. Like, it's like, should I stop this or should I just like watch?
Let them go.
Well, let me just let them handle it. They're grown.
Yeah.
I'm just going to sit back and I'm just going to observe this. So yeah, I remember I was on the Truth Bombs Clubhouse room led by Dragon. So shout out to Dragon if you're hearing this.
Hey, Dragon.
And Dr. Nima. And also Michael Lozier. Shout out to Michael Lozier.
Michael.
Right. So these three individuals, these three men. But it's led by Dragon and Dr. Nima. And so while there, the topic was about I'm not going to remember this verbatim, but it was along the lines of how you can't just be positive. Positivity alone is not enough to be able to maturely deal with relationships and different things like that. Like there's skills that are needed.
Like what?
Like skills such as how to deal with hard discussions with friends, family, your partner, your significant other.
So if you're just like positive, if you're like, hey, you know, I'm just going to be positive and like always optimistic, but you're like, that hurts my feelings or that upsets me when you do this and I want to talk about this.
Exactly.
If you don't do that, then there's going to be consequences to pay. It's not going to be healthy. And is that what I'm hearing?
Exactly. Oh. So that was the truth bomb. So Dragon and Dr. Nima were on that tip where it's like positivity, like high vibes only that's not it, you know, and people that, that think that way, most people that think that way, this is from Dr. Nima, I'm just saying. So most people that think that way, their relationships, their personal lives are a little crappy because if someone's coming to them with a serious discussion, they're like, high vibes only.
Yeah.
And then Michael Lozier, who I love, is a law of attraction expert.
What is
he's
that
all about? So law of attraction expert is basically, he is a key authority on positive thinking, and not just positive thinking, but so that you're able to attract what you want in your life. And then you turn down the volume on the things that you don't want.
Okay. Cause so when I'm hearing I'm imagining this dude tractioning across lava as it has dried in Hawaii. And this dude's just like running. That's not it at all. Right.
Right. Okay. No, not at all.
Okay.
No.
Lifestyle and meaning. Okay.
Following. So yeah. So to witness. So that was the clubhouse fight that day where there were two opposing views and witnessing that and hearing that. So that was fun. So guys, get on Clubhouse check it out and make sure you have your popcorn.
Drama. And then also maybe pull out some cauliflower wings and guacamole.
Yes, I love eating guacamole. I eat that almost every day if I'm not too lazy to actually make the guacamole. If I'm too lazy, I'm just going to take out the avocado and sprinkle some Himalayan salt, and cayenne pepper, and then go to
scoop
town.
It right out of there. Just
scoop. Boom. Exactly. Yes, that's what I did today.
Uh-huh.
And I love cauliflower rings. So you just roast those in the oven.
Oh, wait, you said rings with an R or with a W?
Wings.
Okay. Yeah.
With
yeah. Okay. Okay.
And yeah. So sorry for my English pronunciation.
No need to be sorry.
So yeah, I love cauliflower wings. You roast, you chop up the cauliflower and then you place it on a baking sheet, put it in the oven, 20 minutes on both sides. You flip it over and it'll get nice and toasty. And then you can add your favorite barbecue sauce. And it is quite enjoyable.
So it gets crispy. Like what makes it wing like?
Well, because the way it's cut up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, cause it's got that little clover-ish style. So the way it's cut up, it's like shaped like a wing.
Okay.
And then when you cover it with barbecue sauce, it definitely looks like a wing.
Okay.
So cauliflower wings.
So how many of your non-vegan friends are like, girl, you are pretending when you call that cauliflower wings, cause that's some bull.
Right. What? Right, right, right.
Is that a common thing that you hear?
Well, I don't mention it too much. I guess if I mention it to a lot of non-vegan people, I'll probably get that response. But I love eating it because it's delicious. Mm-hmm. So I do encourage people to give it a try. If you're ever bored and you want to know what this madness is about, give it a try. And so I love it because of that. Yeah. And also too, it has such a high fiber content and has a lot of water in it that I feel good internally when I eat it. Mm. Like I can feel the difference when I eat it. So yeah.
Got it. So check that out. And what's the most common resistance you get from non-vegan people when you're like, yeah, I'm a vegan. Like, and what are some of the responses or reactions you get?
Some people ask me, what does that mean? What does it mean when you say that? They don't know what the definition is. So it gives me a chance to talk to people, explain, okay, well, vegan is just basically no dairy, no eggs, no animal products. So it's a lifestyle where I have no animal products. And so then they go, oh, okay. And then they're curious when I mentioned I have the bakery or even our customers, because 98% of our customers are not vegan. Mm-hmm. So when we give them samples of our baked goods, when they stop by and see us, they don't know that it's vegan. I give them samples because I like to let the samples speak for themselves.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's delicious. What is that? Can I have that? And then if they see a sign that says vegan, then they go, what is vegan? And then I explain and they go, oh, so what I had just sampled had no eggs and had no milk. How could this be? It's so good. So I'm like, well, you know, we've been doing this for some time.
There you go. We got this down, y'all. So we were talking about Seth Godin, and as you're talking, it reminded me his wife does vegan stuff. Are you familiar with this?
No, but I need to look this up. Are you serious?
So he actually, the way he says it, because he's a marketer and the way you say things is very impactful. He says that my wife bakes delicious goods that happen to be vegan.
Wow, I like that.
And so
I like that.
Posing it that way is like a click because as you're describing that, the customers come in, they don't know, they're eating delicious baked goods. It's not registering that this is a separate category and it's kind of odd or unfamiliar to most people where like, oh, you said the V word, I'm good, I'm out.
Exactly.
But if they don't know and they're like, okay.
Oh, I like that twist. Yeah. I like that twist.
Godin, I call him the granddaddy. I got a bunch of writing quotes right here on my wall. And
share one with me.
All right, let's
go. Share a couple with the audience.
Yeah, here we go. Be a meaningful specific instead of a wandering generality. Seth Godin.
That's a good one.
That's one. And then we'll go with one more. It's a little bit longer, but it's worth it. People who have plenty of good ideas will tell you that they have even more bad ideas. So the goal is not to get good ideas. The goal is to get bad ideas. Because once you get enough bad ideas, then some good ones have to show up.
Wow. Ooh.
So it gives you permission. Goodness. It gives you permission to try things and experiment and say, you know what? Let's try this vegan bakery. If it doesn't work out, we'll figure it out because I'm meek and I'm a badass and I'll do something, but why not, right?
Why not? I like that.
So that's
I like that.
That's the freedom that comes with that. So when we're talking about wise sayings or impactful sayings, the 5 a.m. club was mentioned with Robin Sharma, and lay some of that out for me.
Well, for your audience, some of you may have heard of Robin Sharma. And for some of you that have not, he is an author. He was a lawyer. And he wasn't really happy with his profession, although he was a very, very good lawyer. And he just said, you know, I'm going to take a chance and I'm going to actually live out my dream. And he became a writer, and he's an amazing writer. So he's the author of The 5 a.m. Club. Another book he's the author of is The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari.
Oh,
and there's countless other, there's countless other books that he has written. So those are my top two that I've read so far that I love. And The 5 a.m. Club has changed my life.
How so?
Because, well, I wake up every morning 4 a.m. So I wake up at 4, and I've been doing that for almost 2 years. And so the book, since reading the book, I've had more success. Like I've had more intention in the way I wake up, because a book outlines some strategies of what you can do to optimize your hour. It breaks it up with strategies like increments. Mm-hmm. And I've applied them in my life, and like I'm more proficient. I've gotten more things done.
What are the principles that you're talking about in that hour? What are some of the principles or concepts?
Okay. So good question, Phil. So one of them, for example, is when your alarm clock goes off, well, number one, don't use your cell phone as your alarm. Mm. Don't use that. Instead, have a regular alarm.
That like we used and in then, the 80s.
Exactly.
Okay.
Used in the 80s. Uh-huh. And also have it set across the room. And so when your alarm clock goes off, jump straight out of bed.
Oof.
Don't even like wake up and then just like lay, because in those first 15 seconds, that part of your brain that's going to be like, it's the weakest, the first, that voice is the weakest, the first 10-ish, less than 10 seconds when you wake out of bed.
Okay.
So the longer, the more seconds that goes by after that alarm is rung, that part of your brain is going to, it'll speak and it's going to say, you can just kind of lay a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You can just, don't worry, like just, you deserve it.
Right.
I mean,
aren't you tired? Yeah.
And then, you know, you didn't really eat well last night, or you didn't really sleep well, or you ate too much, or you ate too little. And, you know, just 10 minutes. I mean, you deserve 10 minutes.
Then what does that 10 minutes turn into, Mika?
It turns into a half hour. It turns into an hour.
Yeah.
So the book, so he tells you scientifically that he gives you a lot of scientific data that backs up every single thing that he mentions in the book. So the way I wake up now, 4 a.m, is totally different than I was waking up the last 2 years prior to reading the book.
Yeah.
So I've read about 4 books a month. Because of the 5 a.m. club.
That's
because
solid.
I'm able to more proficient.
Yeah.
I've gotten, so basically by 12 noon, I've optimized my time and I've gotten so much more done as a result of using a lot of the principles in the book.
I dig it. That sounds very impactful. So I would get up early as well. So I play basketball 3 times a week at 5:30. I get up at 4:40. So not quite 4 o'clock. But
no, 4:40 is good.
I mean, I feel pretty good about it, but I'm telling you, I am tired as hell in the afternoon. So how do you prevent that? Do you take a nap? Because I do.
It depends. If I didn't get enough sleep, I rarely take a nap. But the last 2 weeks, last week, I did take several naps. Mm. So, I mean, look, there isn't one size that fits all. If you need a nap, take that nap.
I need it.
I'm not.
You're not going to judge me?
Saying that.
Not
gonna... I'm not your body.
Okay. Right,
I'm not your body. You know, your body's saying, you know, you need a nap, take it.
Right.
And if one day my body's like, you need a nap, girl, then I'm going to take it.
Yep. That's
cool. Know, or if I can keep going so that I can go to bed at 8 p.m.,
yep.
I'll do that. So it's like, honestly, They're just not, there isn't one size that fits all.
Got you. But the one size, not so much the size, but the general principle is get up earlier than you're used to. You can be more effective in the morning, which will then propel yourself throughout the day. That's the general concept I'm hearing.
It is.
I dig it.
And I love that book. I mean, honestly, I've gotten so much done. I've excelled so much in my life as a result of that book. And I read that book. I started reading it. I've read it 4 times. And I think I got introduced to the book, I want to say like 3 months ago.
Oh, wow. You jumped on it. I like it. So there's a YouTube video that I listen to every day for like, I don't know, probably 4 months. And in it, there's some explicit language, which I'm a big fan of, by the way. And he's like, don't be a snooze button hitting MF. And I would say that to myself when I would get up and I'd be groggy and do that and do, you know, the brain talking to me like that, then I would incite that line and I would say it out loud. My wife would be like, dang, man. Okay. And, but that is such a big difference when you have that, your preparation in your mind before you get up. This is what I'm doing. It's not a foolproof. Don't get me wrong. There was a couple times that I cheated, but as a principle, that was the case. You have cheat days on the 4 a.m. sometimes?
I've had some last week because last week was crazy. So, but other than last week, I haven't had a cheat time in almost 2 years.
That's beast mode, girl.
At least a solid year. But last week, yeah. Last week, my train was derailed a little bit.
Sometimes you gotta call an audible, right?
Right.
So when you met the homeless man that we were talking about, please lay that out. And beautiful glory. You and Julie, by the way, you and Julie, homeless people.
I don't know what's up with that. Yeah, but I think her story with the homeless guy was more outrageous. Like that one was, like that one trumps mine.
It's fab. No, but, no comparing, girl. No comparing. I'm sure on Obsessed, you guys talk about not comparing, right?
Right.
Okay. But
no
anyways.
No comparison here.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went to the University of Fort Lauderdale, the Art Institute of Fort Lauderdale. And at the time I was taking the bus. So my car had broke down or I had some transmission issues. And so I'm at the bus stop and I get on the city bus so that I can go. The next stop would have been the school, the university. And so I get on the bus and it's about like 7-ish in the morning. And this homeless guy is on the bus and he's sitting directly across from me. And then there was like a slight eye contact, but you know, I felt like at that time I did not wake up 4 a.m. Let me tell the audience. So 7 a.m. was early for me. Right. 6 a.m. was early for me. And so there's a slight eye contact, I think. And then he's like wearing a trench coat and then he starts to sing. And I didn't know he was singing to me. He was serenading me.
Do you remember what song?
Yes, I do remember that song. And the bus was full. It was packed. And he says something like, he says, "Hey, pretty lady." And then I can't remember what else. I can't remember. Man, it's been a long time. He says something else like catchy. And he just kept going with that. I was like, "Hey, pretty." And I was like, "Good Lord, he is singing to me." Oh my!
Did it melt your heart? Want you to go home to his box with him or what?
I was so embarrassed.
You're like, yikes!
It's all good.
Well,
so that's my story.
That is a fab story. Another interesting side note: while we're on the homeless subject, a previous guest, Brian Penso, was homeless 6 years, and he snapped out of that and he became a professional fisherman. He's got all kinds of businesses in the Houston area and he is an absolute beast. So check that out if you get a chance.
Cool.
Yeah, he's superb. Well, thank you for sharing the homeless man story. There was one other question I had and now it is drawing a blank. So we're going to go with our final wrap up process, if you're okay with that.
Let's do it.
Okay. So if you had the ability to put a message out there on everybody's cell phones, you have a billion messages and they could be on the background of everyone's cell phones for a week. What is the message that you believe would be most impactful for our society at this time?
I think forgiveness. Forgiveness, like forgiving yourself and forgiving other people. Forgiveness. That is the biggest one. I think that's the biggest one. Like if we actually, because I have a Christian faith and I know that there's people, whether they're Christians or in Muslim, Hindu or Buddhist or whatever religion or no religion. And we have a lot of opinions. We have a lot of, you know, we like to judge, you know, and I get it. We're imperfect. We're imperfect beings. And so we're quick to pass judgment. And just it's easier for us to like look at someone else and judge someone else.
Right.
And instead of looking internally and checking ourselves, it's easier to check someone else versus checking ourselves. But the biggest message I would say is just forgiving ourselves or whatever in our past, and then forgiving other people. If they make a mistake, you know, a lot of people don't know that they've hurt you. A lot of people will hurt you, but it's unintentional.
Yeah.
A lot of it, you know, they're just good people that are making poor choices.
Right.
You know? And then unfortunately that the side effect was you getting hurt. But if we could just learn to forgive, we'd free ourselves and feel so much better and not be weighed down by a cause and effect situation with looking to point out this is the person that's the cause of me feeling this way. And in return, we can take charge of our own feelings.
Yeah, that's awesome. So forgive yourself, forgive others. You'll be set free in many ways for that. We have a saying at our house, no blaming, no complaining.
Oh, see, there we go.
Rolling with that.
No blaming, no complaining.
Yes, ma'am. So I appreciate you sharing that forgiveness. If people want to find you, Mika, where are all the places that they can find you?
Wow. Our website, victormikabakery.com. Instagram, the Instagram handle is V like Victor and the word and then M like Mike Bakery. So V and M Bakery on Instagram and Facebook, Victor Mika Bakery, Facebook. And yeah. And oh, the Obsessed podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google, all the major platforms, Anchor. So connect with us, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you guys and share some funny stories of Phil, some funny things that he's done on air. So
that's
I'd love
right.
to hear them.
That's right. Share it, everybody. Connect with Mika. It's a good time, Mika. I appreciate you coming on. What's your final before we move on?
No, I mean, you know what? Everybody live life. Life is so unpredictable. It's so short. And don't hang on to small baggage. Just like that T.I. song says that I love listening to when I work out at 4 a.m. Big things popping, little things stopping.
Boom.
So focus on the big things, not the little things.
Boom. I like it. So tell your Victor, tell your Julie, tell your Yorkie too, that Mika, you are the star and this show is for you.